Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
What's up? Welcome to Black Opinions Matter, motherfuckers. My name is Amino Hassan. I'm joined by Black Trey, John Gervais on the production, the one and only Rob Lopez. Let's get right into it, guys. Let's not waste any time. We got, obviously, the big news of the week with Lil Boosie and the Kappas beefing, not beefing. We'll hear all about that from Jerv, a real live Kappa. Will talk to us about that. We'll talk about Antonio Brown. Does he not have any real friends in the world? And of course, we'll review the return of power. How garbage can this show get in the last few episodes? But first, Trey wanted to start with a question that, you know what? I won't lie, Trey. I've thought about this in the past. I haven't thought about it in a while, but I have thought about this in the past. Namely, the game 21 that we all grew up playing. If you grew up playing basketball, you know the game 21. It's basically every man for himself. Everywhere I've gone, people play it, but the rules are a little different everywhere you go. And so, Trey, if you want to lead the conversation here, because I have a feeling you have something in mind in particular.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just really curious. I was watching this video on Twitter the other day, and they were playing 21, but then it gave me like this thought of like, yo, who came up with certain rules, and if the rules really kind of stretched nationwide, worldwide, etc. And obviously some people don't play to 21. They play up to more, which is kind of crazy to me. I think in the Midwest they play to 42 or
Hold on. Let's start with in, you know, Los Angeles, in Compton, how did y'all play 21? You grew up playing 21 how?
All right, so we played to 21.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also could go back to...
Oh, no, I'm talking... Let's go, like, all right. Every man for himself. Every basket starts with you. Like, every basket is what?
Zero. Oh, no, ones and twos. No, ones and twos.
Okay.
Ones and twos to 21, but then There's no capacity. It could be 30 people on the floor, on the court, on blacktop, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. You're kind of judged by how you call your fouls, pretty much. So no soft calls, really. So it could be.
Oh, y'all were calling fouls. Okay.
So then, from there, you can make it or take it, or three and back. But then also after you do three and back, you have to make the three. And after you make the three, you can check up to anybody.
Trey, I need you, because there's some people who don't play ball. So I need you to explain all this shit like to people. They don't understand. We talk about three and back and take the three or whatever. So
when I say three and back, that's take three free throws if you make them. So you don't get the ball back if you miss. But if you make three free throws, they're not going to let you be there all day. And they give you the option before while you're making your first one, because you call out the rules before you want to know. You're going to say, all right, are we doing three and back, or are we shooting all day? All day means you can pull a James Harden and go get 20 free throws if you can. Wow. You know what I mean? Which is kind of lame.
Wow. Did y'all ever play with people like that? I've never. Wow.
I only exclusively played like that. Shoot all day until you miss.
Really? Now, so this is interesting, Rob. Because we're both from New York, and the way we always – I've never met anyone where it said you just shot free throws all day. We would play twos and threes. Like, you would score 2 points, and then when you scored, you got three free throws. After the third free throw, we're checking it up to you, and we're playing live again, right? And the only exception – was if you hit
21 and you had to hit 21 on the dot, then you would take a step back and shoot a three to win the game. Right. That's how we played in New York. I never met anyone where it's like, he just kept shooting free throws until he hit one. Like, you get three free throws at the third one. Because the funny thing was, after that third one, like, niggas would grab the ball and then they check it up to you. But then they get real aggressive, like, okay, enough of this bullshit.
Or try to throw you a bullshit pass and throw you off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Throw you, like, you know, that was it when you're shooting your three. Like, you hit that first one, and they're like, okay, let me throw it up in the air. So he got to get his eye off the rim or roll it on the ground. You do all these little bullshit tactics. Jerv in Philly, how did they play?
So I never found out it was 21 until I got to college. In Philly, we called it Rough House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was called Rough House in Philly. We generally played the 35, sometimes 45.
See?
Wow. Majority of the rules that Trey is saying is true. I mean, not true, because I'm not trying to make sense of you lying. they translate over here. But for the most part, I've never heard of shoot till you miss. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was three foul shots, and it was that, you know what I mean? We didn't play any fouls, hence the name Rough House. There was right. No such thing as a foul. I mean, you can't clothesline anybody.
Right, right, right.
But I mean, tough foul. No, I mean, we play no easy layups, right? So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was that. And if someone called, like, walk, double, anything of that nature on you, it would be 1 point. You get 1 point if you made, like, the bucket.
Bro. What?
Yeah. But the catcher is, you gotta, like you said to me, you can't go over, right? If you go over, you go back. Like, yes. You know what I mean?
If you hit 22, you go back down to, like, 13 or 15 or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
And you gotta, we took pride of, for us, it was like you winning at the foul line. Oh, that was another thing. We didn't shoot from the foul line.
We shot top of the key.
Y'all was on y'all
Van Axel.
Yeah, all day.
So that's funny because when I went to Atlanta, that's what I found out. Like, they don't shoot free throws. They shot top of the key. They shot top of the key, and then you take a step back for that. Again, once you hit 21, you had to hit that three-pointer.
Or you go back 15, right?
Or you go back to 15. Okay. Now, go ahead.
One last thing. Everything was 1 point until somebody made that first foul shot.
Oh, that's wow! That's complicated as hell.
Y'all got way too many rules for my liking.
And there's another, like, level to it too. To Trey's point, you know, 21. Now, I went to grade school in Pennsylvania, but I was born in New York, and now I'm back in New York. But the way they played it too, no matter how many people are on the court, you can shoot till you miss when you make. I think it was when you get fouled, but you were allowed to get double teamed. Now, I know some people don't allow double teams.
No, are you kidding? Oh, we did?
I've played in like other parts in like Jersey where they didn't allow double teams, but they played ones and twos, and you get the ball back on a free throw.
No, we had five people chase it. When the dude had 19,
same.
If you had 19, like, and we knew next basket was a 20, you had like everybody on the court just chasing the dude.
chucking up back to the basket, reverse threes, from the top of the half court.
Absolutely. Well, because the whole thing about 21 is that up until you get to around 15 or 17, for the most part, everyone's too lazy to actually play defense. So the unwritten rule is if you miss the shot, then like it's your primary responsibility to be the defender on the next guy. Right. Like, so if I'm the third or the fourth dude, somebody else put up the shot and somebody else grabbed the rebound, like, I might play a little token defense here and there, but it's like, that's not really I ain't the one that missed the shot. The guy who missed the shot, you got to be Patrick Beverly, whatever. Now, once a dude hits like 17, like, dude, he's about to win this game. Now everyone's like, all right, we're not going to let this happen. And so we start chasing you around like you're James Harden or something.
My favorite part is when niggas be acting like you playing dominoes and you've been giving up the ass on some points. And they be like, damn, is that your boy? Yeah. Why are you letting him score? Yeah. Like, it'd be a nigga that's like, I just came in the game. And nigga be like, all right, how much he got? All right, he got 6. All right, he got 14. All right, damn, nigga, is that your boy? You selling him off? You don't want to guard him? That shit is
but Trey, that's where that hole if you miss the shot as your defense there because people get mad, like, you let him score, like, that's your man. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, you missed the shot. Now, there's another wrinkle that I play with that I've always enjoyed. You ever play with taps?
Oh, tip in?
You tap, yes. You tap a dude, wherever he is, you tap him, you go down to 13. Yep. And if you get tapped down twice in a row, like if you don't get tapped, if you don't score again after you go down to 13, the second tap takes you down to zero.
I don't remember the numbers, but we definitely played tap. Like taps wasn't something we always played. It was kind of one of those things. So remember I said the whole first, make the first foul. So whoever makes the first foul, yeah, I can call whether or not we're playing taps.
And yeah. Yeah.
What a difference. Well, taps for me was a rebounding drill. No hops. Yeah, taps for me in high school was a rebounding drill. That's what the code, you know, the tap against the backboard. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, so basically if you miss a shot, and somebody can tap it in.
Right.
And if they tap your missed shot in.
No matter if it's a one or two? Or no, it would be right?
Whatever it is, you go down. You go down like so. Like, for instance, so let's say someone scored. He's got 17. He scored a layup. Oh, man, that's 19. He hits his first three throw, 20. If he hits this next one, he's got 21, and he'd get ready to win the game.
So, I mean, we would call it 21 tip. You miss that one,
we tap it.
And your feet touch the ground, it don't count. Yeah.
No, it's not tap.
You got to be off the ground. That's right.
And if we played on an 8-foot rim, like where the rim was kind of altered, or it was like dunk courts, it was 21 tip jam. Mm-hmm. So you had to dunk it to even get it count. So
What a wild concept.
I played a version of that where your feet don't touch on the board, but you get the points that person was going to get, right? So, if they shoot for two and you tap it in without your feet touching the ground, you get those two points.
Why we're playing on dunk courts? So I don't know why or who made it a big deal, but it was an elementary school called Washington that's in Compton, and then also Luther's Park Elementary. Little Roosevelt, actually. They had, I think, 6 to 7 foot rims or something like that. And guys would always hop the fence and play full court on dunk rims. And it was like one of the most funnest things because cats is throwing lobs, throwing off the backboard. Even Dominguez, when we were in 9th and 10th grade, the blacktop had 7 foot rims and you could just, it was 8 actually, and you could just catch a body. But it was so fun, man, like playing in those type of courts because you can just hang on the rim. And a lot of cats never will ever get a chance to dunk, and that was their chance to like really just dunk on cats.
Nice. That was me.
And I actually wanted to do that one year of my birthday because obviously, but I just couldn't get everybody in the same city type thing. But like pretty much hop the fence and go play that with like some homies that's like out of shape. But we just playing on dunk courts and you just catching bodies on each other.
Yeah. I mess around on those things. Like we've messed around, played like 2-on-2 just for fun for a couple, but I've never had
those are the courts that you bruise your wrist though like crazy.
Yeah, like that's how I realized, yo man, dunking, that must suck if you dunk all the time. You have like just a lot of calluses on your wrist.
My first blood clot, I took that as a pride. I was like, hell yeah, I got a fucking blood clot in my finger. Hell yeah.
I dunked on a double rim and split the middle callus of my middle finger. And I was just like, look, this is out. Like, I'm never hooping on a double rim. And I'm also not trying to dunk. And that's the thing. I think I got jumper's knee from dunking outside. I used to be dunking all the time on the black court, on the black
damn.
Court. I was thirsty. I was thirsty, man. I was. Because I thought, honestly, I didn't know all about. I didn't think shooting was cool like Steph Curry and them now. Like, I was like, oh, if you dunk, you automatically go to the NBA. So, like, I just try to throw it on fools all day. But that was a fun conversation. Right. Thank you for clearing that up for me. And I'm pretty sure if our followers are listening, please tweet me or Amin or Jerv or Rob about how you guys played 21 growing up or still to this day.
Yeah. Do they even still play 21? Is that an old man game?
It's definitely a thing. I just be chilling. The point now where I'm like, I'm cool.
I'm like kids. Well, no,
you
like see, 10-year-old.
Remember, you seen me play 21 with them kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, Trey was looking crazy, man. He had swimming trunks on and his do-rag was flapping out.
I definitely looked like I was going to use all my fouls.
And they, And they definitely, yeah, you, everyone was looking at you. All them kids were looking at, like, this dude right here is going to be like Kenneth Faried out here. Like, just there was like, you, Trey looked like he should have been playing with Tim's on.
I definitely would have been on 4th Street, West 4th for sure. 100%. 100%, man. How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, not much. But I recently discovered the socks that changed the way I think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. They're made from super soft, natural cotton, and every pair comes with arch support. A seamless toe and a cushioned footbed that's comfy but not too thick. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/BOMM today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/BOMM for 20% off.
All right, well, and before we move on to talk about the honor of John Gervais' fraternity, real quick reminder, March 28th, live show in New York City at the Bootleg Theater in Brooklyn. It's, you were at the last one. It's the same venue. You remember what it looks like. It's nice. It's cozy. It's comfortable. Tickets are on sale now. Go to countthedings.com or visit Count the Things social on Instagram or Twitter to get tickets. It's always a fun time. And I feel like every time we do a live show, I tell you guys it's a fun time, and everybody goes and everyone swears it's even more fun than they thought. One of my favorite things is always hearing from people who aren't necessarily fans of the show but came with someone else, and they end up becoming fans of the podcast and fans of all the content through experiencing the live show. So definitely don't be shy about grabbing tickets and bringing a significant other, a sibling, whatever it is, a coworker, someone who's got a good sense of humor, who likes a good time, definitely show out. And then you guys know, New York City, we always come with the guests. Last time we had Taylor Rooks, we had Bomani Jones, we had Pablo Torre. This year we similarly have some more big names lined up. You know, definitely always a good time. So again, countthedings.com, our Instagram and our Twitter accounts for Count the Dings. You can go find ticket information there. Tickets are on sale now. All right, moving on. So apparently, Labusi this week caused a bit of an uproar in frat world because he was wearing a Kappa sweater.
That he bought in the mall.
He bought it at the mall. I didn't even know they sold them at the mall. I thought they had like special like Greek stores and stuff like that. Lenox Mall, that's a weird place. Anyway, so he bought it and he was rocking it. And apparently the Kappas, rather than say, hey, this is great publicity, they weren't none too excited about that. And started to talk tough. And Trey, set it up a little bit better than I did, and then we're going to leave the floor for Jerk.
Boosie is at Atlanta Hawks basketball game. He always sits courtside there. And he spotted on Instagram wearing the Greek sweater, Kappa Alpha Psi. And, you know, it went viral pretty much because, obviously, Boosie did not go to school. He did not pledge. He did not join this fraternity. And normally there is consequences when you are wearing a Greek sweater when you did not belong to that, you know, that chapter.
Hey, right, old nigga, dog. Gonna tell him, hey, bro, for your safety, bro, you might want to take that sweater off, bro. That's the Kappa sweater. Dudes are really passionate about that. I don't want nothing to happen to you, man. I said, you must not know who I am. You got me fucked up. Like, I wear what the fuck I want wear.
It's like for the army people, stolen valor, yeah. Right? Like the idea that army people get really sensitive if they see someone dressed in military attire but didn't actually serve. They'll beat your ass about that. That's kind of how the Greeks feel about if they see you wearing your shit under normal circumstances.
So Boosie, in his fashion, said, I bought it because I thought it was fly, but y'all not about to do nothing to me with all these threats. So in Boosie humor, he continues to follow up the next day, YouTubing capless moves and practicing on Instagram Live. So he's doing the shimmy. He's throwing up the signs. He's learning everything. He's even tapping in with his fellow Capel brothers and, you know, asking, is he, you know, is he correct? And Capels around the world reach out to give their mind, their peace of mind on Boosie wearing the sweater. Now, this is the person, hold on, for people that don't know who Lil Boosie is. Baton Rouge, Louisiana rapper, Free Boosie, a.k.a. Mr. Ratchet. He, Mr. Wipe Me Down, pretty much beat diabetes, beat jail, kill somebody, and y'all coming for him.
Beat a murder charge.
Beat a murder charge. And y'all telling people y'all gonna go beat this man up. He ain't afraid of nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, you got guys, Greeks reaching out saying like, oh, it's more brothers in Atlanta alone than Lil Boosie. And that they gonna have to see him. But the plot twist was the actual frat reached out with a newsletter. But I definitely want to hear Jerv's, you know, his opinion on this and how he felt when he first seen Boosie in his Greeks clothing.
So first off, I just flat out didn't give a fuck right away. I thought it was Photoshop when I first saw it, right? Yo, that's amazing. Like, I thought it was Photoshop. Like, there's no way this nigga's wearing my letters, you know what I mean, or whatever. And then, you know, as I go on, whatever I saw, whether I saw on Instagram first or Twitter first, whatever it was, I go on Twitter and my mentions are going crazy. Everyone's like, yo, look at, you know, I'm like, it's something that's way blown out of proportion. It's a man that's uneducated about what those letters mean to people and things and so forth, right? I truly don't give a fuck. I think it's hilarious. I do not think, I think the original part was an honest mistake. It's not like, to me, it was a lot different than what we consider a perp, which is somebody who's fronting like they're a member of the organization. Boosie was not fronting like he was a member of the organization. That man tells me he bought the joint because he thought it looked dope. I believe that he had, honestly and truthfully, no idea what the fuck he was putting on. He thought it was dope. It probably matched his sneaks, you know what I mean, or whatever the case may be. So it was what it was. And then the troll effort that he has put in since has been, in my opinion, it's hilarious. I know a lot of bros are probably going to hit me up and be like, yo, that's crazy. How you going to say that? I thought it was hilarious. The fact that dude has gone on videos and watched, you know, countless strolls to his song, which I've been at numerous parties. And when Wipe Me Down comes on, like, bruh, not me, because I've stated clearly plenty of times, I don't stroll. I don't do none of that shit. I just chill. But bros lose their mind. Bros lose their mind when that song comes on. So I'm actually curious to see what happens the next time I'm at a party and how bros react. But I mean, honestly, I thought it was, I think it's hilarious. I think it's free publicity for him. I wouldn't be shocked if he has an album or something coming out soon. I don't follow Boosie like that. But I think it gave everyone an opportunity to pick at their favorite frat and take shots at us, because there's nothing really else y'all can say about us other than the fact that Boosie was rocking your letters. I do think it's hilarious that bruhs are to the point where they were like, yo, like, you know, there's so many more bruhs, this and the third, like, niggas are going to run up on you. As soon as I saw it, I was like, well, let's just keep it real. Nobody, and I don't give a fuck what frat it is, nobody's running up on Boosie. I'm not saying there aren't members of the frat or members of any frat or any organization that aren't built like that or whatever the case may be, but nobody's running up on Boosie, right? Like, it's not like, he's probably never going to wear the joint ever again, because he understands now, I think, to a degree that the level of disrespect, but the level, the severity of how people could take that a certain way and so forth and so forth. But like a troll, which he is, he's going to troll the fuck out of everybody because people are getting hot
which I understand why they're getting hot, but he's going to troll the fuck out of everybody. And his troll level is on a million. I love the Instagram live videos because I'm looking at everybody's comments. I love the fact that Alphas, Qs, and I guess Iotas, if they around, they all taking their little shots. And they like, oh, look at this shit. Boosie initiated, whatever the fuck. But honestly, dude, it's whatever. I don't really care. I think it's hilarious to a degree. I think the man thought it was a dope joint. And why wouldn't you think it's dope? It's a dope organization. The letters are hot. Everything about the organization is hot. It's thorough. So I'm not shocked that he saw a sweater or a sweatshirt, whatever it was, and wanted to rock it. I'm more concerned with why the fuck they just sold that shit to him. Like, the person that's selling this shit literally knows there's no way in hell Boosie's a noob. No way.
But Derv, Boosie didn't go to college. But Derv, here's first of all, they sold it to him because this is America, people.
No, I get it.
And if I can make some money, I'm gonna make some money. But the thing that I didn't—that was the thing that confused me. I said, if I were the Kappas, I would absolutely, like, this is great publicity. Be like, you know what? We're gonna make you an honorary bro.
Nah.
We'd love for you to come out and da, da, da. Like, why not, man? Because
well, first and foremost, you have to be a college graduate in order to be a member of the of any group.
But that's like saying,
You have to
Hold on.
You have to go on to college. Excuse me, to be a because people can drop out after getting letters.
But here's the deal. We also know that people get honorary degrees from like Harvard and shit who never went to high school.
Well, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated has no honorary members, good brother. So we don't do that. Other organizations do that shit, but we don't do that.
Well, y'all fucked up then.
So they mentioned in this letter that they. I know you're getting fascinated right now and hyped, but they did mention that they do want to collaborate with Mr. Hatch. So if they do
collaborate and make him an honorary member of two different things.
Hold on. Now, if they do, well, what you gonna do about it?
I ain't gonna do shit. Same shit. I ain't do shit when I saw it. Except for that. Look what I'm gonna do. I ain't gonna do shit.
Okay. I just wanted to know because you know you were saying just in case they make you know what I mean. He come out with a Kappa Alpha Psi Wipe Me Down version, and they make him honorary. I don't want to hear no shit, Mr. Gervais.
On everything I love, you do not have to worry about Boosie becoming an honorary member because there are plenty of other well-established individuals. With way more accomplishments other than being a murder charge and having a hit, right?
Wow.
And no, I'm not even trying to take a shot of Boosie.
Sounds like you kind of are there.
There are people in this world that have done great things to change the world that were not made honorary members. So there's no, and because we do not have honorary members.
I wish my cousin Ricky was available to come speak on this because he's a saying and he'd definitely go hard. But I didn't think this all the way through. And maybe for another time I'll have him speak on this. But definitely, Jerv, you're hilarious.
There's no way in hell Boosie gonna be an honorary member. Like maybe the Qs can make him an honorary member or the Alphas or Iotas or Sigmas, but we don't do that. There's no such thing as honorary member in our
facility. What if Boosie put out the ban on y'all? Like, y'all can't have my music played at any of your events.
What's that song?
Nigga, y'all niggas shimmy to that shit every fucking time.
Nigga, we'll shimmy to any fucking song. They love it.
Hey, now, Trey, you know their favorite part of the song, right?
What?
Oh, here you go.
Shoulders, hands, shoes. Them niggas love that part where they get to like touch every part of themselves. Like, oh, yeah. Look at me.
Oh, man. No, there's plenty of other songs that bruh strove to. We do not need Wipe Me Down in order. Wipe Me Down will not be the
True or false? True or false? Wipe Me Down is to the Kappas as Atomic Dog is to the Qs.
No, Flashing Lights.
What, Kanye
is our time? No, Parliament. That's our Atomic Dog.
Okay.
That Wipe Me Down has definitely taken a has risen. It would be like the fucking Kevin Durant, I guess, or something of that nature. But Flashing Lights is
it's still the
Yeah,
the Jordan. That's the Jordan for y'all.
Yeah, that's our Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan,
okay,
right there.
Okay, the OG.
Sure. Before we get out of this, can you just explain for everybody at home, like the letters? You were talking about the letters. What's the importance of the letters for like the people that don't know? What you're talking more about, like the letters are important. What's the significance there?
What do you mean by the significance? Like the
what does it mean to you? What do those letters mean to you and everybody in the organization? What is it? What's the big deal with the letters?
So it's ass whoopings. That's what it means.
it's to me, the letters are all about. It's nothing in life is given. Everything is earned. You know what I mean? And
including this ass whooping.
Which is why we Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated is a non-hazing organization, my brother. I do not know what you're talking about. All right. All I'm gonna tell you is that the letters mean, you know what I mean? It's just like it's like anything in this world that you work hard as shit to get, that you've dreamt about or you've had put it as a goal. And for somebody to just come up and rock them, it just doesn't mean it. We're all about achievement, and those letters symbolize achieving in every field of human endeavor. So like it's just that's why we don't have honorary members. Like, I don't even understand honorary member. I don't understand how you can just say, oh, yo, we fuck with you. Here, take these letters. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. You got to do something to get our letters. And I don't mean hazing. You have to go through some sort of something. Like, you have to know history. You have to, like, give a fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't just go to the mall, throw these letters on, pay 5 racks, and be like, yo, I'm a member now. Like, nah, that's just not how it works. But again, it's a non-hazing organization.
In the words of Sean Carter and Pharrell Williams, my nigga, please.
Y'all niggas stupid.
Support for Black Opinions Matter comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Rob, you won't believe this, man, but like back when I was first, you know, this is first going through puberty, first starting to grow things in that region, believe it or not, I used to use actual scissors. Scissors, like the sharp kind that seamstresses use, because my mom had a crazy sewing skit, so I used to use those really sharp scissors. And even though I was being very careful, I came, man, closer than you would even think to catastrophic results, Rob. And so that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts, bruh, which is huge, because who wants bloody balls? Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you do your balls. That's just disgusting. Manscaped is also the crop preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant that I happen to use today, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not put deodorants on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BOM at manscaped.com at checkout. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code BOMBOMB at manscaped.com at checkout. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code BOMBOMB at checkout.
Moving right along, speaking of stupid niggas, holy hell, Antonio Brown. All right, so first and foremost, like before we get to the serious stuff of, you know, him with the cops and his baby mom and cussing out his baby mom and the cops in front of his house with his kids running around and all that. Quick question. Have you guys watched his music videos?
No.
I refuse. Dude, I'm telling you.
I left him in 2019.
Let me just say this right now. The diss track he put out about the Saints, I was like, am I wrong or is this shit kind of a banger, man?
Is Boosie on the track?
It should be. Maybe he's going to be on the remix wearing a Kappa sweater. But but it's the video has like the actual conversation between him and his agent about the Saints wanting to give him a chance, you know, want to get to know him, do a workout, da da da. And he just proceeds to just shit on him. And like, I'm going to tell you right now, man, for a dude whose life is falling apart, he's managed to put together like a pretty solid like 3-minute song with a video. Like, I often wonder if he wasn't so out of control, would it be easier to market him? or market his music in the same way. And I think about, I don't think about it like, oh, I think he can actually rap or whatever, but I think about it in the same way of like Lil Duval able to have a song that's like the number one song in the country, even though he's not really a music act. He's just a comedian fucking around singing something silly. And so I was like, yo, this shit could actually be a song that would turn into an anthem if it weren't for the fact about shit like this. And as I said, and Antonio Brown, apparently his baby mama showed up to his house to pick up the kids to take them to school. Now, the next part is kind of confusing, but basically he alleges that she tried to basically grab the keys to one of his cars, the Bentley, to, I guess, drop them off like that. And so he flipped out. He called the cops. And then the cops ended up not arresting her, but basically giving her a ride with the kids. As Antonio Brown, as I said, stands in front of his house screaming and cussing out the cops, cussing out his baby moms, cussing out everybody. And like in the middle of the, all right, I'll see you, pop or whatever. Like he's yelling at his kid or whatever. And then he throws a bag of penis-shaped gummies at her, basically to make the joke like, oh, you could eat a bag of dicks, bitch.
Bro, she here with my fucking keys, and you said you can't get my keys back.
I didn't say that.
All right, so get the keys. Well, so I'm asking you, do you got the kids? What could you do? She don't have no car. This bitch is a baser. She have two other kids. She stay at a hotel. Look at her. She's a fucking lost cause. Look at her. These niggas got to make calls for niggas to get justice. The police can't even know what to do. They got to call, you feel me? Call other niggas. Hey, Chubbs, here go the bag of dicks. Fish head. Fish, here go the bag of dicks, fish. Chubbs, here go the bag of dicks. Fucking baser. Fuck the NFL. This is real life.
The main question I had was like, where is he purchasing dick-shaped gummies from? And is that really enough of a punchline to warrant having that on your credit card bill?
So I'm actually about to look this up, and I'm going to clear my history after this. But
the video or the website where you can buy it. Oh.
Well, my question was straight up. I had two questions. One, did this nigga just throw like a bachelorette party? Because like that's the only time I've ever heard of a bag of, like, he's got so many bags of dicks.
Okay, so here we go. Here we go. Dicksbymail.com sells gummies for $15. And then you can get also glitter with it. And then you also could do, but this bag of gummy penises is a great way to tell your friends, family, and loved ones or enemies to eat a bag of dicks. Sent anonymously with a stock message, this product will get your point across in a way that nobody will mistake.
See, that makes more sense if, like, ding dong, oh, Amazon package. Oh, wonder what this is. Open it up, find it. Ah, shit, it's a bag of dicks.
But did he?
That makes
okay,
sense.
It does not make sense for you to have it to them delivered. And she brought it with her with the kids?
No, I don't think so. I think he just has a stock of these because he's taking mad pictures of other bags of dicks. I think he just ordered a lot. But, like, my thing is this. Bro, if we're having an argument and you reach over into your cupboard and grab a pack of gummies and throw it at me, I'm not stopping to pick it up. I'm like, oh, I wonder what he hits on me, some tasting. Oh, my God, they're shaped like penises. Like, in order for that joke to work, the person has to actually pick it up and look at it. And so you throwing it at them, that actually fucking worked. So you basically made the joke just for yourself and not for anyone to actually be humiliated other than yourself because, again, you went on bagofdicks.com to order them. It's not very well thought out, I guess my point is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not spending 15 cash on, I don't care how much money I got on some gummy bag of dicks, man. That's crazy. And the fact that we even having a conversation about fucking bag of gummy dicks, man. My man is definitely doing something wrong here.
Like, definitely. If y'all had to guess, how many of those does he have in his house right now?
At least,
like,
he has a box. At least
how many come in a case?
How many did he send 20? to Bill Belichick?
Nobody, because he's not smart enough to send it directly to the people. He had a big box sent to his house, and now it's like, that's what he does. He throws it or like or holds it up like, hey, I'm gonna tell, because he took a picture today and posted it on his Twitter and Instagram, and he added ESPN on it. Hey ESPN, here you go. And it's like bag of dicks. Like maybe there are these people out there who are like, yeah, Antonio Brown, you tell them to eat a bag of dicks. But I'm just kind of like, I'm of this mindset of like, oh, okay. Like, that's okay. That's your, all right. I mean, you're,
is, sure. is this corrupt company? Eat a bowl of these, bitch. Goblin dick. The
goblin. Antonio Brown. This ain't going to end well for him, is it?
No. I don't like to write people off, but like his football career is over.
Oh, I'm not talking about football. I just wait.
Oh, no, football's done.
Football's done.
So you're talking about jail?
I'm talking about like.
And all that shit?
Not even jail. Like, jail / other negative consequences.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Like, it's not like he's going to be either jail or bankruptcy or self harm or maybe inadvertent self harm. I just don't feel like people who are going through this public of a meltdown. And you know, Levitar Show talked about this. The guy's like addicted to social media. Like when he's cussing out the cops, you say, hey, man, did one of the neighbors tape it? Like, oh no, the motherfucker went on Instagram Live to do this shit. And it's just like, you know, I might want to cuss out my baby moms and cuss out the cops too. I just don't understand where like the, oh, by the way, Instagram ought to love this. Like, what is the benefit you get from that?
This is the same dude that went did the Instagram live from the fucking locker room. So
yes,
I mean,
and to your point, I mean, I just shared it in the chat, but I don't know if you saw it. But the police department that he lives in, the Hollywood, Florida Police Department, returned his donation from a recent football tournament, charity football tournament. So I mean, they're sick of his shit too. It's like, dude, you even want your money?
Well, I mean, just feel like the cops are at his house all the time, man. Like, and again, I'm just saying, like at some point, just for his own well-being, right? Like mental health or whatever. Man, you just got to calm down, bro. Like, there's got to be a way to do this without screaming, cussing, calling the cops, having the cops called, and by the way, all of this being shared with the entire world at all times. Like, you know, like what do you think his kids are gonna feel like when they grow up?
He's who Marshawn Lynch was talking about the other day. You know,
yeah.
Protect your mental, protect your chicken, protect your money. Like he is basically who he was talking about.
Is there any chance he, since the cops have sent back his donation, that he will send them a bag of dicks?
100. Well, I don't know if he'll send it, but he'll definitely take a picture of it, maybe an Instagram video of it as well. Anyways, we're praying for you, AB. I hope you get better, man. Because like, it's. And again, the football part is secondary, man. Just fucking get your life together, bro.
He's got to go get checked out, dude.
Oh, man, you know what, man? I don't know. But typically, people like that are very resistant to getting help because they're convinced like it's everybody else. It ain't me. So it ain't me. It ain't me. all right. We might as well get to this. Power, the second episode of the last few that are airing here that are all about Who Shot Ghost. I actually, for the first time in a long time, I took long notes. And Trey, I know you're a big Family Guy fan, so you'll appreciate this. When I realized this episode was all from the perspective of Paz, who is Angela's older sister, I guess.
We did not need this, by the way.
We didn't need it, and I wrote a pause episode is like a Family Guy mega episode. But you ever see that Family Guy where it's like a mega episode, and it's at the beginning of the episode, and Peter says, that's right, guys, it's a mega episode. And then he starts kind of like pushing the remote control towards the screen, like, go ahead, we don't blame you. like, nobody gives a fuck about pause. And by the way, Paz, the general gist of this episode is Paz is one stupid motherfucker. Her and her stupid ass son, y'all two motherfuckers, are just something else. So, first question, do you guys remember her putting the phone in the casket when Angela got burned.
Nope.
I don't remember that at all.
Yes, I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She said something in Spanish like, your secret is safe. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw it in the little recap, but I was just like, wait, where did this come from? I have several questions from this episode. Question number one, how does she know where everyone lives? So in this episode, she went to Sax's house. She went to Tasha's house. She went to Tommy's house. She went to who else's house did she go? She'd been to everybody's house, waltzing right in, and I just couldn't figure out, like, how the fuck did she know where all these people live? She waited outside of where, I want to say where Ghost lived, too, you know, although she didn't actually approach him in his house.
I think she was outside of his hotel, which is even weirder.
Still, though, like, how does she know where everybody lives? Paz's son, I said him and Tariq should be friends. This little disrespectful motherfucker, man, his mom is going through the agony of losing her sister, and the dad has a stroke or Alzheimer's or something going on, and this motherfucker got jokes. He's like, oh, you mean the guy who shot TT is going to be president of the United States? I'm like, nigga, that's only jokes. And then his next thing is always, yo, what's up with the inheritance or whatever, the insurance or the pension.
But why did she risk it, though?
No. But before she risked it, let's just talk about how this little nigga, as his mom is trying to, grieve her sister and find justice for his sister, all he wants to know is where the money is. Like, every opportunity, he's asking her, like, he's badgering her about the money. Like, nigga, go get a job or something like that.
And it would be different.
Ungrateful bastard.
It would be different if he was introduced, like, last season, right? And we understood where to – but, like, his fifth line is, where's the money? Like, who are you, dude? Like, where the fuck did you come
from? Actually, my first note was, who is this? Like, who is this dude? I had no idea who he was.
Have we ever seen her? Have we ever seen Angela – well, Paz and Angela's dad before, or is that the first time we saw him too?
No, we did see him, because I did remember the scene where
Angela was taking care of him or visited him or something.
Yeah, and he's telling her to stay away from, he's having like a flashback from when she was little, telling her not to hang out with.
So he's got Alzheimer's, but he can remember ghosts?
I don't know, man. Like, people with Alzheimer's can
remember like certain stuff, right? They can remember back to
Angela barely time. Remembered him.
Yeah, but that's the thing too. It's like, how the fuck do you remember this corner boy? Like, so, everything.
So I'll give you a great example. One of my uncle, who was a lot older than my parents, like my cousin's dad was really, really old. Towards the end, and he was always a real sharp dude. Towards the end, I don't know if it's Alzheimer's or senility or whatever you want to call it, but like his memory was gone. So when I went to visit him, like I was sat down with him and kind of talking to him, hey, how's it going? And he's like, oh, he's doing okay. And then he'd say to me, you know who you remind me of? And he'd say, like, you remind me of, he said my dad's name. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's my dad. He's like, oh yeah, hey, how's he doing? I'm like, oh, he's doing great. Yeah, I haven't talked to him in a while. Yeah, a real funny guy. Da, da, da. And then he talked, and then a little bit while later, he looked at me and said, you know who you remind me of? And he said, he clearly remembered my father, but he just didn't like string everything together with reality of right now, with, you know, 20 years ago, all that stuff. So that I kind of understand a little bit.
Your uncle remembering your father is way different than this dude remembering a corner boy from Angela's past that she hadn't seen for like 20 fucking years.
That's true. I tried, Tyler. I tried to give.
Real quick I have a special message from Kev the Barber. Shouts to Kev. Sorry I couldn't fix it up to get you on today. But he just wanted us to point out, he said, please talk about how bad her son's haircut and eyebrows were. And again, 50 goes out and finds yet another person or persons that we never seen, and they are the worst actors on earth.
The eyebrows were pretty like disturbing.
That's very Puerto Rican, though. If I can, as a Puerto Rican, I see.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to come off as a racist.
No, it's a very Puerto Rican look. The eyebrows looking crazy.
So the kid's real disrespectful. Paz tries to roll up on Ghost with a gun in her hand, exposed in the middle of the street in the middle of daylight, which was also stupid. Paz basically goes to the district attorney and tells him, hey, I have evidence that Angelo's shady, because she thinks it's going to lead to the capture of Ghost. Even though the dude told her, if you do this, you're risking your sister's pension and all the benefits, she went ahead and did it anyway. And then it didn't work. And I'm just like, what was the point of that?
Because there's no reason to have a pause episode.
Yes. And then her solution is maybe we need to go, or her solution and her solution is we need to go shoot that dude. Like, what is that going to accomplish now? Like, you almost got it backwards. You're supposed to go to shoot him and then try to get the money later, not, hey, let me expose my sister. And then when it doesn't work, I'm going to shoot him, even though that won't really do much.
Do they really dig up bodies like that, or is that just a sitcom? I mean, is that just television?
I think that's just television. I think it's really hard to get somebody exhumed, but usually it's because the family says no. So, like, in this case, the stupid-ass family member was like, yeah, let's do this. My favorite part of the episode was when she went to Tommy and it's like, Tommy, I want you to kill him. And my sister was a good person and she got caught up with this animal, blah, blah, blah. And Tommy's like, whoa, she wasn't that good. I was like, yeah. Shout out to Tommy for dropping hard truths in a time like this, especially given the fact that he was the one that shot Angela. Thought that was really nice.
Tasha told her the same thing too.
What?
Like, yo, your sister
don't trust Angela. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, your sister wasn't that good.
But Tommy said it in a much more, like,
Tommy way.
Yeah.
Bitch, please.
Yes, I very much enjoyed that. She goes to the club during the event, and she waits in the bathroom, and the bathroom stall that she's in, it happened to be the handicap stall. Have you ever seen a stall that big that wasn't a handicap stall? She's pacing inside it. I'm like, how do you pace inside a bathroom stall? No, nobody else.
Dude, knows. It looked like another bathroom. That's how big that room was.
The dude from the Democratic Party went all the way down to the district attorney's office to tell him, hey, man, stop your investigation. And then turn around and leave like 30 seconds later. A phone call wouldn't have sufficed. He had to come down there.
Also, again, who the hell is he?
I don't know.
He's the Democratic Party.
We've never seen this dude, and we've been with Tate for like 3 seasons. Who is he? Have we seen him before?
Tate gets an episode, right? How many? What do we have left? We have Tate.
There's 5. Episode. There's 5. So it's Tate.
Lord Jesus.
It's so the non-family Tariq. Members. There's Tate. Well, it's Tate and Sax are the non-family members, and the family is Tariq, Tasha, and Tommy are the last 3.
Jeez. I hope somebody dies.
Who do you think? So we're learning more. I kind of – the one thing I'll give them credit for is we're learning more about post-Ghost, I guess you could say, like as these episodes are like kind of rewinding and going forward. So now Tommy's gone. So do we get Tommy's episode next week? Is Tommy the last one? What do you guys think about the Tommy reveal at the end?
The last one is the person who did it, right?
Right. So is this telling us this episode – be it that it is kind of a trash episode and pointless, and maybe she should have actually gone first instead of Dre. That last verse, that last scene,
we could have done without the entire episode.
Yeah, she doesn't deserve an episode. Yeah. She shouldn't even be one of the suspects.
Her and Dre could have, like, they could have packaged that shit. Like,
yeah,
and it's disrespectful to Dre. You're right. Like, we didn't need her episode.
I'm not gonna say. First of all, I wanted everyone on Twitter that told me, "Oh my god." The writing on these is phenomenal.
Oh, man. It really
are smoking.
It hurts my feelings, man. It really does. I just stay away from Twitter now because I just can't believe how many people think this is good television. I'm like, yo, have you never watched? And like, have you never watched The Sopranos? Have you never watched The Wire? Like, have you not watched actual good television?
Or apparently.
Or do you just not know the difference? Have you watched and you just don't know the difference?
No, I just don't think they know good television. Well, according to Wise, what's Wise say?
Oh, yeah. Black people, man. Yeah, Wise is right. Waz is right. We were wrong, man. We were wrong.
Waz, you're definitely right. Good Lord. She did not deserve her own episode. The episode was freaking stupid. They introduced a million characters that were huge for her episode, but are pointless in every aspect of power. And I'm just at the point where just get me to the last episode. I've never been so disappointed in the ending of a series other than True Blood.
You know, one of my friends hit me up and said, man, I hope Ghost ain't dead. And I'm like, yo, if Ghost is alive through all of this shit, I'm officially going to take my television and my DirecTV box and throw that shit out in the street. I don't deserve to watch television. If I watch 7 seasons of this bullshit for this dude to still be alive.
Only, yeah, especially with every episode, they keep reminding us that he's dead.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, once again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening to Black Opinions Matter. Again, reminder, countthedings.com, March 28th, Bootleg Theater, Brooklyn, New York. Buy your tickets. Make sure you lock that down. Make sure you guys are out there. Again, special guests are going to be in the building. All your favorites are going to be in the building. It's going to be fun. Bring a friend, bring a family member, bring a loved one, whoever. And as always, stay black.